of eschatology, and kind of the verse that launched us into this study was Matthew 24, verse 3, and his disciples, it says here, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So based on the question that that Jesus is asked by his disciples, he then goes into teaching them about the end times. And we've already been through, you know, so far in our study of the millennial kingdom, we've already been through, of course, the rapture of the church and the tribulation and everything that happens within the tribulation and all the different judgments and the players, if you will, and the people. Then we looked at the second coming and all the events around the second coming. And when we've been looking here at the Messianic Kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, so far we've seen the citizens, the administration, and the worship of the Messianic Kingdom. But today, we're going to study the blessings of the kingdom. Just think about this, friends. The Lord Jesus is going to be on planet Earth for 1,000 years. So that in itself is the greatest blessing. But he's going to be on earth for 1,000 years. We're going to be with him, and it's going to be an interesting time in world history. So, the blessings of the Messianic Kingdom, Roman numeral 1, letter A, the spiritual blessings. So what's going to be the spiritual blessings of this great time on earth? Well, the first blessing at the start of the kingdom, everyone will know the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon the earth. Just think about that. Everybody will know the Lord. The whole earth will be saved. Jeremiah chapter 31, and in verse 31 to 34, the Bible says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that they made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, will be their God, they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, and I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So we thank the Lord for this fact that at the start, God is going to pour out His Spirit upon the world. And Joel chapter 2, we don't have to turn there, but Joel talks about the same thing, where the Spirit of God will be poured out upon the world. And the greatest spiritual blessing, the fact that Jesus the Messiah will be here, but at the start of the kingdom, everybody will be saved. Okay? Amen for that. That's a great blessing. So letter B, the ethical blessings. What do we mean by ethical? Well, Satan and his demons will be confined, and there will be no outward temptations. Now, we already have seen Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 3, many times in this study. What will happen? The angel will come, and he will bind Satan, and he will bind him, and he will throw him in the bottomless pit, and he'll be in the abyss for 1,000 years. So there will be no demonic activity and no demonic temptation for 1,000 years. Okay? But number two says, yet having a sin nature, people with their unredeemed bodies will sin. Salvation through faith in Christ is available to all the unsaved born during the kingdom. How have people always come to God from the creation of the world until the end of the world? Faith, right? Always come to God in faith. and in faith in what God has revealed. In the Old Testament, after Adam sinned, Genesis 3:15, after Adam sinned, God promised a Savior would come. So prior to Christ's coming, there was faith in the coming Messiah. Okay? Short period of time in the world. Christ was here on earth. Okay? You could see him. And since the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension, we look back to Christ. The central theme, the central figure, the central and only way of salvation has always been faith in God's Messiah. Okay? And for us, we look back. For people, more people than you know, you think about time frame anyway. For more years, people had to look forward, right? We've been looking back for about 2,000 years, you know, at Christ. So, same thing. During the millennial kingdom, though, they won't necessarily be looking back. They'll be looking what? Right there, Adam. There will be Jesus. He will be on the throne. So they people born in the millennial kingdom will still need to be saved. Okay? Good? Okay, spiritual blessings. Everybody will be saved at the start. Ethical blessings. Satan will be confined. No demonic temptation like there was for Adam and Eve. The social blessings. Psalm 46:9. All warfare will be abolished. All warfare will be abolished. Psalm 46:9 says, He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. So when Christ comes and rules on earth, there will be no more war. Right? Do you think there's ever been a time on earth where there hasn't been some kind of war going on somewhere? You know, might not have been a full-fledged world war, but there's wars going on right now as we speak, you know. So all warfare will be abolished. You know, just think about that, how safe people will be. Nations will not rise up against nations. It will be a time of peace. And this is something that the world has longed for. Many people have tried to bring in world peace, and you know, I'm not talking about their efforts or their desire, but everything thus far has failed miserably, right? The United Nations, you know, I'm not going to get real political on this, and maybe there was a time man thought, you know, if we all unite, there'll be peace. Okay, good idea in theory, but it hasn't worked. You know, and so all warfare will be abolished. Okay. Number two, absolute social justice will prevail. Psalm 72, verse 4. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall clothe the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressor. Skip down to verse 12. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. Absolute social justice will prevail. You know, today, sadly, in our country and around the world, a lot of times the poor people, you know, they're used as pawns in great political things, right? A lot of times, too, when you think of justice and you think of the court system, if you're not wealthy, you don't have a very good chance of winning your case. Think about a time when there will be absolute social justice, when court systems will work the way they're supposed to work, because the Supreme Court, the Supreme Judge, will be here. And he will rule not with eyesight, not with, you know, oh, that poor person, I'm going to have pity on them because they're poor, or oh, that rich person, he doesn't look guilty, I'm not, you know. But he's going to judge based on truth and justice and righteousness. So this is what the world has longed for. And guess what? This is what Christ will bring in. Isn't it sad that what the world longs for and what the world wants, they reject, because who's bringing it? Christ, right? They don't want Christ, but they want the benefits. With the divine curse of Babel lifted, there will be one universal language. Turn to Zephaniah. Zephaniah is toward the back of your Bible, before Haggai is Zephaniah, after Haggai is Zechariah. Turn to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. Now, Genesis chapter 11. What happened in Genesis chapter 11? The very first verse says the world was all of one language, right? And because God told the people to be fruitful and multiply and spread out after the ark, spread out, populate the whole earth, what did people do? They stayed together. And they started to build a tower unto God, the Tower of Babel. And so what God did when he came down, he saw, he said, I'm going to confuse their language. All right? And suddenly, he comes down, he confuses their language, and now there's people speaking and making different sounds. I mean, can you imagine all of us here, we speak the same language, and suddenly something happens, and there's 3-4 different languages in here. And we don't understand 2/3 of the people. So what do? You congregate around the people you can understand. But God miraculously confused their language to force them to study. All of this, part of the curse, right? But God says in the kingdom, in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9, he says, for I will turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Okay? And that word turn in the Hebrew means to return or to restore. So, I know you're probably all thinking, what is that language going to be? I can guarantee you it's not going to be English. Okay, because English is, if you know anything about languages, and I'm not standing here before you pretending to be a linguistic, I can't even say the word, but you know, but English is made up of, you know, there's some Latin in our language, right? And there's some French, and there's some Romance, and it's kind of like a mongrel language. What is the pure language going to be? I don't know. Some say Hebrew. I don't know. I think all languages have been affected by the curse, so I think it will return to a pre-curse type language, whatever that language is. Okay? Don't ask me. You can have an opinion, you know. There are people, crazy people, who think it will be 1611 English, you know. The pure, I'm not joking about that, but you know, they do believe that, and believe me, it's not going to be that. It's going to be pure, you know, and so it will not be affected by. What is one of the things that every language has? Curse words, right? Swear words. It's going to be a pure language. A language we will, number one, all know and all understand. Okay? Good? So if you don't know a foreign language, don't worry. Someday you will. Okay? Political blessings. Israel will be exalted above the nations. I'm not going to take the time to read all of Psalm 47, all of Isaiah 60, but you could look at them. But Israel will be exalted above nations. What has God done with the nation of Israel? He has called them his own. He has you know, called them his people, his chosen people, and he will exalt Israel above the nations. What nation is probably hated the most on planet Earth today? Israel. Probably hated the most. Okay? Sadly, I think America is moving up that, you know, ladder of nations hating us, but Israel is the most hated. Well, one of the things that's going to happen in the millennial kingdom is Israel is going to be exalted. Why is that? Because they're God's chosen people, number one. Number two, the Messiah came from Israel. And number two, the Messiah will return and rule from Israel, from Jerusalem in particular. Okay? So Israel will be exalted above all nations. And turn to Romans 11. The Gentiles, that's you and me, and all the other lands, will also be richly blessed. The Gentiles will be richly blessed. Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather that their fall, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. So here, Paul is talking about the nation of Israel. Have they stumbled? And have they fallen? Has God done away with them? He says, God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. For if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness. So right now, as a nation, God has laid aside for a moment in time the nation of Israel. Are they still God's chosen people? Yes. Is Abraham's promise, I'll bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee, still count today? Yes. Is God saving Israeli people? Yes. But in this time in which we live, Jew and Gentile both become part of the church. But there will come a time, and because of that, because of God's putting them aside for a moment and not concentrating on one particular nation, but bringing the gospel to all the world, people are getting saved, Jew and Gentile. The middle wall of partition is brought down. We, as the bride of Christ, we as the church, there's no longer male, female, bond or free, young or old, Jew or Gentile. We're all one in Christ. And because of that great blessing upon us Gentiles, but God is going to turn his attention, and we've seen this many times, God again is going to turn his attention to the nation of Israel. But because of this right now, we're going to be blessed because of that. All the world will be blessed. Nations, number three, will live together in perpetual peace and will enjoy unprecedented prosperity as long as they honor the king. Zechariah, the next to the last Old Testament book. Zechariah chapter 14, we've seen this verse a couple of times through our study, this passage. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not up, they have no rain. There shall be the plague wherein the Lord shall smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So as long as people are obedient, God will bless them. God will bless them with peace. God will bless them with prosperity. God will bless them, in many ways, because the Lord is living among them. So there'll be political blessings. There'll be Israel being exalted above the nations, the Gentiles being richly blessed, and the nations will live in perpetual peace and will enjoy unprecedented prosperity as long as they honor the King. Okay, any questions so far? These are all the blessings that will come because Christ will be on earth. Okay? People have been looking for this utopian society, right? Wanting to live, this utopian life. And many people have tried and everybody has failed. But Christ will bring it in. So it's great to have spiritual blessings. It's great, you know, we see these great spiritual blessings, which and ethical blessings and social blessings, political blessings, but there'll also be physical blessings. Now, you and I will already have our redeemed bodies. We'll be living, with our glorified bodies. So we will be already physically blessed. But remember, at the start of this lesson on the Messianic Kingdom, people who have survived, been saved, and survived the tribulation period will enter into the Millennial Kingdom. And entering into that Millennial Kingdom, they will enter in alive in their unredeemed body. So there's going to be physical blessings for them. Everyone will enjoy health and long life with saved people living throughout the whole millennium. Look at Isaiah 33. You ever read in your Old Testament, you know, back in the early days, and I'm sure you have, and you've read and you've seen that this person lived 700 years, this person lived 900 years, and this, you know, and you think, my, that's a long time. Well, compared to us, when the average lifespan, you know, in the world today is about 70 years, that is a long time. But if you think of how when Adam was originally created, he and Eve were created to live how long? Forever, okay? And sin came, and as sin came, you know, life became shorter and shorter and shorter, and then life drastically became shorter after the flood. And I know there's all kinds of physical reasons we can talk about that, and scientific reasons, but, you know, predominantly the reason we die is because of sin, okay? And with the Savior being here and with much of the world being saved, people will live long, healthy, physical life. Isaiah 33, verse 24, the Bible says, "And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell in shall be forgiven their iniquities." Okay? No COVID in the Millennial Kingdom. Okay? No mask mandates. You know, no social distancing. None of that. You know, one of the things that sadly sin has done is brought about sickness. Look at chapter 35. Just turn a couple pages in your Bible, Isaiah 35, verse 5. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, the tongue of the dumb sing, and the wilderness shall, for in the wilderness shall break. Waters break out and streams in the desert." So there's not going to be blind people, lame people, deaf people in the Millennial Kingdom. All of these things are a part of the curse. And that curse will be lifted, praise God. Okay? And look at chapter 65 of Isaiah. Isaiah tells us much about the kingdom. Isaiah 65, verse 22. "They shall not build and another inhabit, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands." Right? How old are trees? Some trees are pretty old, right? Andy works in trees. Is it true, Andy, if you cut a tree and you count the rings, that's supposed to be how old it is? Or it is how, you know, and, you know, of course, when you cut a tree and count its rings, it's no longer alive, but you could find out how old that tree was. And there's some trees that are old, you know. I don't know what the oldest trees, you know what the oldest trees are in America? The redwoods maybe, or Joshua tree? What was that? So we're going to live as old as Joshua tree, you know. Not us, but the people born in the kingdom. Go ahead.
And count the rings, you got to cut it right at the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean,
correct. Yeah, just, yeah, yeah. Okay. So, either way, the Bible says people are going to be old as trees. So, you think about the cedars of Lebanon. You know, how old those trees must have been, you know. So, all right. So there's going to be great physical blessings. The hazards and diseases of our present human experience will not exist during the kingdom days. Isn't that great? You know, there's not going to be these these diseases that we have to worry about. We won't look at all of these, but Isaiah 11:6, you know, people are going to lie, the lamb and the lion are going to lie together, the wolf and the sheep, and kids are going to be able to play with today what would be considered venomous and poisonous snakes. Nothing's going to hurt. The curse is going to be lifted. And every animal is going to go back to eating straw, okay? Even the lion, okay? They're going to be herbivores. They're not going to be. And there's just not going to be these things that can hurt us and kill us, you know? If you know what kills more, what insect kills more people on planet Earth than any insect or animal? Mosquito, malaria. Think about that. You know, no, you don't have to worry about the mosquitoes. We're from New Jersey. Mosquito is the state bird of New Jersey. They grow real big down there in New Jersey, mosquitoes. And you know, but no, you know, think about that. Tick, right? What's a big problem in the Northeast? Lyme disease, right? None of that to worry about. You know. Go play with the rattlesnake. It's okay. You know, up here we don't have too much to worry about too venomous of a snakes. I think there are some rattlesnake dens. I don't know if they're up this far, but I know New Jersey and whatnot had them. But so the curse will be lifted, and it will be a much safer place to live. Okay? So you can tell your kids. Go ahead. Go play in the yard, but there's a bear in the backyard. That's okay. You know, go play with the bear. It'll be fine. Okay. So while the people, there's a note there. While the people living on Earth will experience the natural events of procreation, meaning giving birth, and development, they will not die unless they are incorrigible sinners. Incorrigible means not able to be corrected, improved, or reformed. Okay, so there are, you know, people are still going to be born sinners needing to be saved. And just because you're a born sinner doesn't mean you're going to die. But in the kingdom, with every chance to come to Christ, even with the fact that he's sitting there, right, in Jerusalem, and you can see him, and we're going to see him, sinners who refuse to submit to the king's authority, they will... look at Isaiah 65:20. Isaiah 65:20 says, "Then shall there be no more an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." Okay? So if you're... You know, well, think about that. If you die at 100, you're considered a child. But if you're an incorrigible sinner and you're not going to get saved, then you die for that. The wages of sin is death. Okay? And we'll talk about, I think, in next week's lesson, you know, we'll talk about more, you know, why didn't people get saved? You know, why was at the end of the millennial kingdom when Satan was released, why was there a rebellion? And we'll talk about that next week, Lord willing. So all unsaved people who are still alive at the end of the millennial kingdom will die in that final revolt. We'll talk about that more next week. With the Edenic curse lifted, desolate areas will be reclaimed and inhabited. Animals will be at peace with each other, and man and the land will be more productive. We looked at a lot of these passages in Isaiah, but another thing that is interesting, it talks about how in the land of Israel today, in the area where the Dead Sea is, nothing grows, right? And the Jordan River flows from Mount Hermon. The river, the water comes off the mountain, flows in the upper Jordan River into the Sea of Galilee, then the lower Jordan River, and it goes into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea does not empty anywhere, and all of the area there is just dead. It's barren. That's where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And it's just dead and barren. And the Bible talks about in the millennial kingdom that a river will flow from the temple of God and it will heal the lands. And it talks about fishermen standing on the banks of the Dead Sea and catching fish. Okay? What grows in the Dead Sea today? Nada. Nothing. Nothing lives. Not even vegetation, not even life of any sort. And because of these pure and healing waters, even the topography of the earth is going to be changed. And the desert will bloom, it says, like a rose. Because it's all part of the curse. What must the world have looked like before the curse? What must the Garden of Eden have been like? I'm sure that in your life, somewhere along the way, you've been to a beautiful botanical garden. Just these and think about how beautiful they are. But it's part of the cursed world. How much more beauty will we see when the curse is lifted? You know, and these are the blessings that we have to look forward to. The drudgery of work will be removed. How many of you at times feel like work is drudgery? One person? Okay, two. All right, how many of you work for somebody that is just like the worst guy to work for? He didn't raise his hand. I'm just giving him a hard time. But the drudgery of work will be removed. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 15, God commanded, prior to the curse, God commanded Adam to keep the garden, right? So work is not part of the curse. But the curse affected our work, because in Genesis 3, 17 to 19, what did God say? In the sweat of your brow, right? You know, thorns and thistles, you know, and you will work hard all of your life just to eke out a living, then you'll die, right? You know, wow, work hard all my life just to give the government half of my money, and then I die. And the drudgery of work will be removed. There will be more rainfall, new supplies of water. That's what we were talking about before. Isaiah 32, Isaiah 35, Joel chapter 2. Natural light will be increased. Isaiah 30. Now, natural light will be increased. Will that be because a lot of the natural light was done away with in the tribulation period, or will it just be that light will be increased? Of course, not. What is one of the things we have to worry about today because of the curse? The sun's rays, right? The ultraviolet rays, and we have to wear sunblock and things like that. We're not going to have to worry about that. God will take care of all of that. What does sun cause things to do? Grow. Any of you ever been to Alaska? No one here has been to Alaska, but there's time of the year when it's, because of how high they are above the equator, there's time of the year when it's dark there all the time, but then there's times of the year when it's light. And a lot of times, what happens to the vegetables in Alaska that grow during that time of the year? They get huge. Why? Because sunlight. And sunlight helps things to grow. So there will be an increase of that. The topography of Palestine and possibly the whole earth will be changed, with the Dead Sea being fed and made to support life by a river flowing from Jerusalem. And that's all those wonderful passages in Ezekiel 47, where Ezekiel describes the millennial temple and the water that flows out, and then fishermen being able to fish on the Dead Sea. So what a time this will be. These will be the blessings of the millennial kingdom. This will be what it will be like to have Christ on earth. This will be what it should have been like for Adam and Eve. Remember, Satan will be bound. No demonic temptation. And the earth will bloom, and Jesus will rule and reign from the earth. So it's going to be a blessed time with many, many, many blessings. Next week, we'll look at the end of the kingdom. We'll look at Satan's final revolt. Then the week after, our final message, we'll look at the eternal state. We'll look at the new heavens and the new earth.